Hebrews chapter number 10. I'm going to start reading tonight in verse number 19. This is where God dealt in my heart as I looked in God's word and sought his will for the service tonight. He said, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The text tonight that's sticking out in my heart and in my mind is in verse 22. Let us draw near. Let us draw near. Let us draw near. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight for the word of God. And thank you, Lord, tonight for your people that have gathered here in thine house. I pray, dear Father, tonight that you'd make the message a blessing in our hearing, God, in our hearts. I pray, Lord, tonight that your will would be done in this service. In Jesus' name, amen. I was studying this afternoon and I texted Brother Dale and asked him to sing this song tonight, if he would. You can't always assume. I mean, this is an old song, but there might be some old songs that Brother Dale don't know. It probably ain't many, amen, but I wanted to ask. I wanted to give him a heads up, and he graciously agreed to do that. But I want to read a little bit of this tonight in the introduction of the message. The songwriter, it looks like this was 1875, Brother Junior. That's a few years ago. Amen. He said, I am thine, O Lord. I want to ask you a question tonight. Are you his? Can you say, I am his and he is mine? Do you know what a blessing that is tonight to be able to say that? I am his and he is mine. The next line in the song said, I have heard thy voice. I believe this man knew what he was writing about. Amen. Go ahead, Brother Junior.
That's Miss Fanny Crosby.
Oh, okay. Yes, she's the author of it. Amen.
She got the word
to
Mr.
Jones. Oh, amen. Amen, Brother Junior. Thank you, brother. 1875. So that would be... Would that be 150 years ago? Am I thinking about that right? 150 years ago. She's blind. But she knows that she's his and he is hers. And she said, I've heard thy voice. Yeah. Think about this, Brother Brian, what y'all just sang. Yeah. What did that voice tell her? And it told thy love to me. She was able to know that God loved her. And in knowing that God loved her, there's a but I long to rise in arms of faith and be closer drawn to thee. I don't know about you, but I'm at a place in my life where I want to be closer. I don't wish to be blind, but I do wish to be closer. I want to be closer. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. You wouldn't believe how this fits with what God's given me to preach tonight. Consecrate me now to thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in thine. She was at that place where Jesus had arrived in the garden. Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. Oh, the pure delight of a single hour that before thy throne I spend. Boy, I hope you'll think about these words while I'm preaching tonight. Hebrews chapter number 10. When I kneel in prayer with thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. I say, what a friend we have in Jesus. A lot of people picture the Lord a lot of different ways. But I'm going to tell you tonight, listen to me carefully. He's declared to be a friend of sinners. Well, my goodness, if he's a friend of sinners, hadn't he ought to be the best friend the saints ever found in this world? And he said, she said, there are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. That reminded me, Brother John and Brother Grizzle. Every time we see him lately, I just want to go home. I just want to go home. I just want to go be with the Lord. There are depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with thee. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to thy precious bleeding side. Brother Wrightley was reading that. He'd say, to thy precious. Oh, I love that man of God. It's a sweet honey. He's running out of both sides of his mouth when he's preaching. Amen. What a blessing. I want to look at this drawing nearer tonight. The Bible said, let us draw near. Just the way that it's phrased tells you that it's not something that is automatic. It's something that we're going to have to allow. Something we're going to have to strive for. Let us draw near. If we want to be nearer. I got to thinking about what I was preaching Sunday about being satisfied. And on the other hand, so many times the eyes of man are never satisfied. We can be satisfied in our heart. But I got to thinking as God was dealing in my heart about this, really, all the unsatisfaction that we have in our life, whatever that is, you know what it's designed to do? To tie up our time, tie up our talent, and to keep us, Brother Brian, from drawing near to the one that loved us. All the slewfoot wants to do, and he uses all kinds of things, amen. They can be good things, but listen, one big preacher said, I think I can get it right years ago, I heard him say, a good thing becomes a bad thing when it keeps you away from the best thing. And the best for the children of God is, like Fanny wrote, to commune with Christ our Lord. The Bible said, occupy till I come. That's easier for me, but the Bible also said, be still and know that I am God. The Bible said here, let us draw near. Going back to our text, it starts out in verse number 19, having therefore, I want you to see here, there's three B's. Brethren, there's boldness, and there's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But really, that's not the order. It is in that verse right there. But when you see the word therefore, and you look back just a little bit in the chapter, go back with me a little bit. Look at with me at verse number 9. The Bible said, then said he, lo, I'm come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first that he may establish the second. Talking about that covenant. And the Bible said, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. You understand, I believe now. For years I didn't believe, but I got to study and I believe now Paul wrote this book. There's something else over here. He said in verse number 34, and there's other things that's coming to light as I study. He said, for ye had compassion of me and my bonds. I believe Paul is writing to the Hebrews here. You see, he was a Hebrew of the Hebrews. You remember that? He was called to preach to the Gentiles, but this is his background. He's thinking, beloved, listen, about those Jews, and he's thinking about those bullocks, and he's thinking about those lambs. He's thinking about those turtle doves. He's thinking about that blood sacrifice in the Old Testament. But he said, that's all done. None of that could take away sin, but the offering of Jesus Christ once for all is what takes away sin. So really the order in verse number 19 is brethren, boldness, and the blood. But if you look at the whole text, it starts with the blood. Watch what he said here. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. You know, let me say this tonight. Think about this for just a moment. Think about this. If you're going to draw near to someone, I'm not trying to be elementary on purpose, but it's just a thought that God gave me. Wouldn't you have to know where they're at? Wouldn't you have to, if you wanted to get close to somebody, wouldn't you have to know where they're at? Where they were? Wouldn't you have to know their location? So God said, I'm going to tell you where he's at. He's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. He's in the heavens. Look with me, if you will, in Hebrews chapter number 1. The Bible said in verse number 3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself, glory to God, he didn't need any help. By himself he purged our sin. And what did he do? He sat down on the right hand of the majesty. Stay on high. Oh, Brother John, oh, Brother Jones, Brother James Jones preached a message in a conference when I was with Rock of Ages entitled, What's He Doing Sitting There? Glory to God, I'm glad I know where he is tonight. He's our high priest. He's there to make intercession for us. Amen. The Bible said here, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected. Boy, I tell you, I read this today and I was just about to turn a backflip. He has perfected. Did you see that? For when I look in the mirror, I don't see anything that's perfect. But glory to God, I don't see like he does. That songwriter got it right when he said, when he sees me, he sees the blood of the Lamb. He sees me as worthy and not as I am. He said here, look here, one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This is a silly illustration, but I know some of you have heard me say it. I've never heard anybody else say it. Ain't nobody else that crazy. But I wondered. The Bible said he's going to present us without spot, without blemish. Maybe you don't see any spots and blemishes when you look in the mirror. But honey, I'm like Paul. I've not yet attained. I'm not there yet. Say amen. And I wondered, how in the world is God going to present us holy? and spotless without blemish when he presents the church. I got to thinking about my wife, and I got to thinking about Cannon, and I got to thinking about my mama years ago. And anybody that cans, they set them out on a towel on the counter or on a table. And as those cans fill, they ping. They'll pop. Ping, ping, ping. I've heard Mom, I've heard Eve do the same. Say 5, 6, 7. They all sealed. If they get to 6 and don't get to 7, they go back and find out which one didn't seal. You're with me, ain't you, Brother Gary? That has to be put back in the canner, don't it, brother? Because if it don't seal, it ain't going to be no good. Amen? The beans or whatever's in it's going to spoil. And I got to thinking about salvation by the grace of God and how God's going to present us holy and without spot and without, you know what he done that night he saved me? Glory to God, I said yes to Jesus in an old-fashioned altar and the blood was applied and ping, there was a seal went off. He sealed me with the Holy Ghost, amen. And you know what you do? You go back a year later, 2 years later, and you open them beans. You get beans just like a day that's put in a jar. Glory to God, God's going to get me just like a day he put me in. Listen, I'm not talking about my service. I'm talking about my sin. It's gone with the blood of Jesus. I'll give an account for my service. My sin is nailed to his cross. The word of God said here, by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified, whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts and into their mind will I write them. And their sins and iniquities I will remember no more. Glory. You say, Pastor, what in the world's that got to do with drawing near? Honey, that don't make you want to get close to it. I just won't go to the house and forget about it. What he's already done for us. According to the book of Romans chapter number 8, I believe it is. Well, let me read it. I can't quote it. I'm missing it right here. Let's go back here just a minute. It's Romans chapter 8. We love this verse, and we know all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He also did predestinate to become conformed to the image of his son. We said that son was going to be like Jesus, that he might be the firstborn among many, many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. I'm telling you tonight, as far as me, it ain't done yet. But as far as him, it's as good as done. Amen. It's done. The location. We got to know where he is. That's why he starts really with blood. In verse number 19, it's the brethren. It's the boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We need to know the location. We need to know where he is if we're going to draw near to him. The Bible talked about that veil right here being his flesh. And you know, really, when you think about it, the veil in the temple was rent in twain when Jesus died on the cross from top to bottom. That veil was rent, but that veil of his flesh is what allows you and I access into the holiest of all. Amen. We don't need to look for somebody, beloved, to forgive our sin. He's sitting at the right hand of God the Father. Amen. If we'll confess our sin, he's faithful, he's just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The next word, listen, the word location, we need to know where he is. But the next word that God spoke to my heart about was an invitation. Did you know that we're invited? I want to ask you something tonight. I noticed last night when that prisoner came home from Russia, I noticed in the Oval Office there with the president, there were several representatives, and Marco Rubio, our Secretary of State, was there. I don't remember the man's name. I don't mean any disrespect, but he's done a good job bargaining. And but you know, they didn't just show up, Brother Dale, in that office. They were invited. Now, I'm going to ask you a question tonight. If you was invited to the Oval Office, Brother Jim, you said you're going to take me one of these days, didn't you, brother? Amen. That'd be good. I'm not joking. He's going to take me up there one of these days. And I got a picture of him somewhere on my phone, him and Miss Tina behind that desk. Amen. Well, it'd been better than what we had the last 4 years. Amen. Maybe not much, but a little bit. You're welcome, Brother Jim. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something right now. You and I have been invited to a place that's a whole lot more important than the Oval Office in Washington, D.C. We've been invited, Brother Connor, into the throne room of God. I'm saying something right now. He wants us to get near Him. He's, let us draw near. He said, come on. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. He said, you'll find rest. I tell you why we're about to go crazy in this society. We ain't found the rest that you can only find at the feet of Jesus. We can rest. An invitation. Boy, I tell you what, tonight, does it not humble you? It does me to think that the likes of Him invited the likes of me to come into His throne room. You think about that tonight. Before I go any further, let me say this. The Lord showed me something here today. He showed me several somethings, but hey, something. Y'all have heard me preach this before. But I really didn't see it in the Bible. I was just judging by experience. Y'all have heard me preach about the old days. Brother Billy, his statement comes back, Brother John, where he said, I believe we're a victim of the times. There's a lot to that. There really is. But back in the old days, Brother Dale, there wasn't nobody waiting on a choir to get stirred up. They come through the door stirred up. They had to walk to church, but they come through the doors stirred up. You want to know why they're stirred up when they come through the doors? They've been drawing near. They've been drawing near all week, amen. And I want you to see something here in the Scripture. I mean, they sang on the way to church. They prayed in the woods. They prayed on the way. They prayed at the house. They read the Bible at the house. They sang at the house. Many a woman's washed clothes on a washboard singing. Amen. Didn't know what an automatic washing machine was. Washing dishes instead of griping and mumbling and complaining. Praising God. They had something to eat and a dish to wash. Look at this. Let us draw near. You see, the first thing is the blood. Watch this now. But in verse number 19, it talks about the brethren. Let me show you something here tonight. When he said, let us draw near with a true heart in a full assurance of faith. If you're looking at this in the order that it's appearing in Scripture, on down in verse 25, he says, not forsaken the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. He didn't say to get together and draw near. Glory to God, this is good. I just got this. He said draw near and then get together. Hallelujah. Don't get together and draw near. That's what we're trying to do. Somebody help me. Oh, sing me a good one, choir. Sing me a good special. Get me up very close to Jesus. Honey, I'm going to tell you what's the truth. It'd be a happy day if we just get close before we ever come through that door back there. Confess our stinking sin and get right with God. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. I'm going to tell you something right now. That'll happen when you get a bunch of people drawing near. Brother Brian, I don't know about what happened at the end of that song over there. I was too wrapped up with what was going on in the middle of it. But I tell you one thing. I can remember when Brother Fred was leading the choir and leading the singing here at the church. Those last couple of years, there'd be a time or two, Brother Junior, he'd miss the timing. Sometimes he'd miss the pitch. It wasn't very often. But I'm going to tell you something right now. Listen to me, and you hear me good right here. I believe, Brother Ralph, sometimes I was getting a bigger blessing when he was a missing than when he was a hidden. You say, why? Because he was a man that walked with God. He was a man, beloved, listen, that never said one discouraging word to this preacher. According to him, I never preached a bad message, and I know better. Amen. But I'm telling you, beloved, it blessed me. Listen, it blessed me because there was a man that had drawn near. I've said this for years. And listen, I love good singing. I know it when I hear it, and I know it when I ain't hearing it. That's why I ain't singing. But I'm going to tell you something right now. What makes singing the best is not the mouth. It's the heart. Brother Jude, did you ever hear somebody sing that just had God all over? Maybe they didn't get it just right. Amen. But they had God all over them. Let us draw near. Preachers, let us draw near. Let us draw near. I'll tell you, I'm trying to get on the next thing. Oh, over there in the book of Acts, you remember Peter? You know what they said? Let's see, I believe it was Peter and John. It said they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. I tell you, that's what we need, Brother Jason. Amen. If nobody notices anything else, amen. If they don't notice your suit, they don't notice your tie, they don't notice your voice, they don't notice your outline. Glory to God, give us some men that's been with Jesus. Draw near. Draw near. That's what he wants us to do. The location, we know where he is, the invitation. He said, come unto me. But then the last word that I want to give you tonight is the word anticipation. It reminds me, I didn't mean to say this, but it reminds me of a lady that had a servant or a slave. And it was a lady that was a slave. And she said, I need you to help me pray about something tonight. And she said, what's that, ma'am? Said, I need you to help me pray. Said, that beer joint's been over there long enough. I want you to help me pray that God will burn that beer joint down. So that slave prayed with her. They prayed that God would burn that beer joint down. And they got up the next morning and the beer joint was in ashes. That woman said to her slave, said, honey, I don't understand. Said, I've been praying for years that God would burn that beer joint down. Said, I ask you to pray with me one night. And God burned that beer joint down. She said, I don't understand how that happened. She said, well, you prayed and went to bed. I prayed and got some matches. In other words, she anticipated something was going to happen. I wonder on any given Sunday, Brother Jason, from the pulpit to the pew, I wonder how much anticipation there is that God's going to do. You know where that anticipation comes from? Drawing near. The Bible said here, having therefore brethren, we saw the word brethren, we saw the word blood, but in the middle of that is boldness. Let me say this to you tonight. Boldness is not arrogance. There's not a one of us that deserves the invitation to come in His presence. When my dad would say, someone would say, how you doing? He'd say, better than I deserve. He meant it. We don't deserve. But I tell you, we're welcome to come in His presence. Boldness. The Bible said, let us therefore boldly come to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy. How many needs mercy? How many know somebody that needs mercy? I'm talking about in salvation. How many needs mercy in their health? Amen. And find grace. How many needs grace to help in a time of need? How many believes our communities in a time of need? Our country's in a time of need. Our churches are in a time of need. Anticipation. I don't know where this come from, but when I thought about this, I left, I guess it was Monday morning a week ago, I left the parking lot at 4:34. That's when I entered out onto Packing House Road. And I was looking forward to seeing the folks from our church. I really was getting to spend a little bit of time with them. But there was some anticipation in my heart that wasn't at Duke. It was in Statesville. Little grandson. I couldn't wait to see him. Yes, I love Olivia too. Don't look at me like that. Amen. The charity's starting to wonder if I done forgot I got a daughter. Amen. But I want to ask you something. Do you love him enough to anticipate spending some time with him? Anticipate being in his presence? One of the things that one of the ways that we glean or we gather anticipation is because of something that's happened before. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to take all that. How many's got a time in your life, boy, you knew you met with him and you knew he met with you? And I mean, as one old boy said, his tweed, amen, his tweed, amen. Devil wants you to forget about that. And God wants you to just come on back. Be like that old fellow that had the list that said it's getting gooder, gooder, tweeter, tweeter. Amen. That's the way it ought to be, our time with the Lord. We ought to anticipate meeting with him. We ought to anticipate answer to prayer. And then in the chapter, you go down to verse number 36. He said, "For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God," that's what you was reading about tonight, Paul could say, "I'm ready to be offered." The reason he could be ready, Brother Jason, is because he knew he had done the will of God in his life. He said, "You have need of patience. After you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry." I want to ask you a question. How many people in America do you believe tonight are really anticipating the coming of the Lord? To anticipate would mean you'd look forward to it, right? You'd be looking for it. I used to shoot tournament archery with my son. I got to spend some time with my son. He had a procedure done today at the hospital. Got to spend some time with him and his wife. And years ago, I used to shoot tournament archery, and my boy was 10 years old. He was a cub, what they called a cub. And I shot in the adult men's class, and they had several different classes there. Some of them shot with fingers, some of them shot with the release aid and sights, and some of them shot with sights that big long stabilizers and sights that magnified the target. I didn't get into that. I didn't shoot in that class. But my boy and I, we had the privilege to go to Union Grove, North Carolina, and there was 1,100 shooters in that tournament. And I placed third in my division, and my boy placed third in his. You say, what's that got to do with anticipation? Do you know how my boy and his daddy looked forward to that Saturday when there was going to be a tournament? Chance, did you look forward to those games? I know your mom and dad did, amen, when they could be there. And it's something you anticipate. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. You look forward to it. Don't you look forward to family coming at Christmas time? I'll never forget Brother Don McCann. He said, somebody said, I guess you and Linda's got that empty nest syndrome. He said, oh no. He said, my favorite set of Christmas lights is the last set of taillights going down the driveway. Brother Don could say it like nobody else, amen. But the truth be known, Brother Don loved to see them kids coming. Anticipated that family time. Anticipated being with his kids. Is there anybody in the house tonight that's looking forward to dropping this robe of flesh? Looking forward, amen, to falling at his feet. Looking forward to meeting the Lamb. The Lamb of God took away our sin. I want you to know tonight, I've preached this message because that's what God gave me to preach. But in my heart, I feel like an utter failure. But I want to fix it. I want to draw near more often. Amen. I like the song, Brother Dale, nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to the cross where thou hast died. I'll close with this. Years ago, I won't give you the specifics, but years ago, there was a man that at one time I was very close to. And now he's very bitter. Not just bitter, but very bitter. And I told that man that I was just one branch in his tree of bitterness. Just one. And I said to that man, if you could ever get to the root. See, there's always a root of bitterness. There might be all kinds of branches showing itself, but there's a root somewhere. There's a root of bitterness. And how this fits with the message is this. I said, if you could ever get to the root and carry that root up there to the foot of Calvary's cross, I said, lay it down right there and look up. I said, I believe you could get past that bitterness. Joseph could have been bitter, but he wasn't. He was better. He allowed the trials to make him a better man. I've watched some of my precious people here at Bible Way these 12 years. I've watched the trials make them a better person, a better Christian, a stronger person. You want to know why? Because they didn't go away from him. They said, draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord. I believe that's what Paul meant, Brother Jason, when he said, most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Take a crazy man to glory in infirmities. No, not a man that's full of crazy. It's a man that's full of Christ. Because he realizes the infirmities are temporary. How many's glad you come tonight?